Everyone, it's the day that God has made, and we will rejoice and glad in it. God is good. God is very, very good. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. What does that verse say? Oh, that men. Oh, that men. Oh, it's a deep longing of the psalmist's heart. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. What kind of a wonderful work has God done to you? What kind of a wonderful work has God done for you? Wat van woord have God done to you or for you? Think. What kind of a work has God done for you? Are you walking in the reality that God is working in your life? God is doing a magnificent work in your life. God is real to you, and you just love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your might and all your strength. Or not? Is that too radical? You know, the reason I'm saying this is because I'm saying, woe to us, woe to me, if my Christianity is word, it's not real action, and where my religion is not real. Meine Religion ist bloß ungetrocknet, ist nicht wirklich real, not wirklich vor mein Leben. Today I want to tell you a story about a man whose name is Peter. I think he's still alive. A bit more than a year ago, my dear wife and I were in Switzerland. We were very privileged to be there from February the 20th till about March the 13th. And one of those occasions that we were there, we visited relatives. My dear wife has sisters there, and she has nephews and nieces there. And so it was very precious to see them. One of the occasions, we were up in a kind of a Christian resort, and they have a hotel there. They served us meals three times a day, and then after those meals, or sometimes during those, just after the meal, then or between, they would have a certain brother share something from the Word. And so there was this one man whose name was Peter Lapooner. He was already in his mid-80s, as much as I understand. And he was telling us about the one time something happened to him. He had just given his heart to the Lord. He had, at about age 17 or so. And he was, the Christian life was real to him. And he had been a Christian for about a year. And he had been doing a job. I'm not sure what kind of job he had. I don't know if he even said what he was doing. But then he was, one day after work, he decided he was going up to the mountains, you know. And so he went up into the mountains. He was just looking up into the sky and seeing the beauty of everything. And oh, he was just marveling at the greatness of God. And then he walks in the mountains. He walks on this stretch of snow and on that stretch of snow. And then he walks over here, and here's kind of a path with rocks along the way. He walks along it, and he just walks, and there's a kind of a crag, and he just grabs over them. Roar! He looks behind him. Just where he walked, everything disappeared into the abyss, hundreds of feet below. I'm going to die. He was really afraid. He was holding onto a couple of scrubs of brush, that's all, and his feet were just on the edge, and it was just hundreds of feet below. Everything had just disappeared. And he was, oh, I'm going to die. So he bowed his head and he prayed that, oh God, I'm going to die. Please, God, if you want to take me now, I'm ready. Please cleanse me, forgive me. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. Please, God, let my parents know that I was true to the end. Amen. And when he opened his eyes, two things transpired immediately. One was all fear was totally gone. No fear. And secondly, he saw a way of escape. As he looked up, he saw two columns of rock going up about straight up, about 15 meters, which is about 50 feet straight up. And they were about a meter apart. And by putting his hands like this, and his feet like this, he was able to inch his way up. He had no fear. He could have slipped. He would have fallen to his death. But he had no fear. He inched his way up, and he inched his way up. 50 feet up like that. Slowly. And when he came to the top, there was a plateau, like a big straightaway. He could walk in that. Oh, and he made his way down. And it was getting late by this time. He hadn't expected it was getting dark. He knew he couldn't walk in the dark. He couldn't see anything. He had no flashlight. And he made his way, and it was getting dark. And he saw some waterfalls there. He figured, I'll better stay right here. And he made himself a little bed with rocks. And he lay down upon those rocks. And he made sure that the rocks were kind of hilled up so that he wouldn't start rolling off the mountain. And he lay down there, and he slept. And then next morning, the sun shone warmly down upon him, and he woke up, and he made his way down the mountain. But he said, I learned God is real. When you cry out to God in your extremity, God hears. God answered prayer. And when he told the story, of course, he told the story much better than I can tell the story, because he experienced it. I said, wow, my hair almost stood on my back of my neck. It's almost stood straight up. Oh, that's something. Yes, but God took care of him and blessed him. It was very precious to hear him. Let's pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, thank you so very much that you are a great and mighty God. And you do wonderful works, great and mighty works. And God, I pray that you would be here with us this evening. As the topic for this evening is a very serious one, I pray that you would bless each one that is here and give us open ears. Mok an ze ure op, dat we tjene hier wat wird Gottes zaidet. Dat bid ik in Jesu naam. Amen. This evening, like I said yesterday, I want to speak about the voice of the devil. It's a very serious, serious message. There's a part of it that I just about tremble when I come across it. It's about in the middle. And I say, Lord, oh, I know you're in charge. But God, trust you. The devil has spoken from the beginning, and he still does. And what does Jesus say about the devil? Before we go on, to tell you three instances in scriptures where the devil speaks, I want to, first of all, before we do anything, I want to tell you who the devil is. And then when we know who he is, then we can understand what he means when he speaks. Very important. Turn to John chapter 8, verse 44. John chapter 8, verse 44. You are of your father the devil. Jesus is speaking to the Jews. You are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. And then he says, he was a murderer from the beginning
and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Three things we know about the devil from this scripture portion. Oh, still on. Three things. First of all, he's a killer. He wants you dead. He wants me dead. Secondly, he is a liar. He is a liar. Thirdly, he's a father of lies. It's very important, that we understand who the devil is. These are Jesus' words. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word shall not pass away, Jesus says. Understand, he is a killer. How many people are out there who think the devil is their friend? He is not your friend. He is a killer. He's a murderer. He's a liar and the father of lies. He wants to see nothing. He sees nothing better than to see you suffer, to see you cry out in fear. That's all he's about. You need to understand this. Now, I want to tell you three places in Scripture where the devil speaks. The first one is found in Genesis chapter 3. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Here we read this. Verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. They were standing close to a tree where they were told not to go. They stood and listened to the serpent. They stood and tried to reason with the serpent. Three things they did wrong. But what did the devil say? His first words were, "Yea, hath God said." Hof Gott hat wirklich gesagt. Gleich zu Gott wird er irgendwann sehen, ihr sollt nicht von der Erde. Gleich jeder Gott redet auf meine Erde nicht. Ich lehre das fraglich, das ist ja fraglich, das ist das nicht really so, ist es? Ist es really so, dass Gott hat dit gesagt, hat dort gesagt? Würde ihm gleich dort. Ist es really so? Is it really true that God has said, you shall not eat of it? God knows. The day that you eat of it, you are going to be as gods. You will know good and evil. Yea, has God really said it? He puts to question the things that God has said are true. Well, God just, whatever God says is true. And he questions it. He mocked dort fraglich, what Gott gesagt hat. Und wann wieder und so denk ich dann, ich stahl dort an es fraglich, what Gott gesagt hat. In sein Wort.
dann leih ich mir nur inge seine Kraft, wenn ich da fraglich anstelle. Yea, hath God said. Did God really mean it? And there's many things like that in the Bible. Many things like that in the Bible where people, they say, did God really say that? No. You can't take that serious. Like one man once told me many years ago, oh, no, you can't take that serious. No. You people always take it serious, but no, we don't do that. Oh. Yea, did God really say it? For example, does God's word really say it? You shall not bear false witness. You shall not lie. Did God really say that? Did God really mean that? It's all right to just bend the truth a little bit. Do I really have to tell the truth, all the truth? Did God really mean it when a man looks after a woman to lust after her, that it's adultery? No, it's not that serious. And you put to question what God says. You put to question. That's the devil's trick. That's God. That's the devil's voice. And who is he? He's a murderer. He's a killer. He's a liar. He's a father of lies. That's the devil. The devil. It's very important that we understand who the devil is and what he says. Did he really say that? Did God really say that? My dear brothers and sisters, it's very, very important that we understand what this says. This is truth. For example, one verse that I shared at the prayer meeting this evening. Psalm 165. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I marvel at that verse. Excuse me. Really? God, is that really true? Great peace. Grote vrede had they wat dien woord. Der Leife dien wird. Der große Freiheit. Und nichts wird ihn anstoßen. What a precious, precious word. That's God's word. That's God's word. And I just thank him for it. God's word is truth. And the more time that you and I spend in God's word, the more we will understand what truth is, and the more we will understand what lies are. Der mehr Tiet wir wollen nehmen wird Gottes, der wird Gottes zu lesen, Tiet zu bannen, zu spenden, Tiet nehmen, der Dich zu lesen, von Anfang bei Regen, und dann war, und 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 wir verstehen, wenn der böse Feind redet. Dann wollte ich seine Stimme. Oh, dort seine Stimme. Mit der Stimme habe ich nichts zu tun. Dann wollte ich verstehen, wenn Gott redet. Das ist eine ganz verschiedene Sache. Take time for the word of God. And you will understand the essence of a lie and the essence of truth. The more time you spend in God's word. But you say it's boring. It's boring to read the Bible. There's nothing good about it. Ah, you don't know. You don't know. It's the most precious thing in the world to spend time in this. This is a treasure book. This is worth far more than gold itself. This is just beautiful to get up in the morning and to spend time and to sense God is speaking to me. And so when the devil comes and he speaks, oh, yeah, you're a liar. You're a murderer. I have nothing to do with that. Very important. May God grant that we would understand when the devil speaks, that we would discern it. Now I want to go to the second place. Turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. Hiob, Kapitel 1.
like to read verses 6 to 12. No, is it? Yeah, verses 6 to 12. Job chapter 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said to Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Now listen to this. This is God's testimony of Job. Das Wort Gott sei red von Hiob. Das Gott sein Zeugnis von dis Mensch. Das sind nicht Menschen, er wird. Das sind nicht Menschen, ihre Gedanken. Das sind Gott in die Gedanken von dis Mensch. Wort hier sei denn, Vers 8. "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth or shuns evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and about his house, and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he has, and he will curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. This is where Satan is described as the accuser. He is the accuser of the brethren. He is the accuser of the Christians. And it says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, that he is the accuser of the brethren, that accuses us before God day and night. Day and night. And God says, "Look at my servant Job. Oh, you have made a hedge about him. You protect him. You take that hedge away, and he will curse you to your face." God says, "You can touch what he has, but you can't touch him." Notice, this is very precious to me, and it's a matter of great trembling. God says, "You can touch Job, but you cannot touch his life." But you can only go so far. And Satan went from the presence of the Lord, and you know what he did? All his substance, even all his children, he took from him in one day. All his camels, all his sheep, all his donkeys, all his mules, everything in one day, and all his children in one day. One day. And what did Job say? What said he up? Gott hat mir gegeben, nur Gott hat Gott genommen. But this is the instance where Satan says, "You, O God, have made a hedge around your servant." And Satan is even now, somewhere in the sky, somewhere in the heavens, accusing you and me before God's holy presence. And he's saying, "You, O God, you have put a hedge around them." But God only lets him do as far as he allows. Gott lässt dem Böse fint bloß so weit gehen, es heit dem das Land. Wir sehen wir das. Nicht wieder, nicht ein Zoll wieder.
Nicht ein Sau wieder konnte er böse auf ihn kommen. Gott hat uns in seine Kraft. Aber ich flaute mein Hort, wenn ich denke daran. Was kann Gott Leute passieren? Was kann Gott Leute passieren? Ich flaute an mein Hort. I tremble in my heart when I think that even now Satan is accusing us before God. And Jesus is standing there and he is saying, I gave my blood for John Lowe and I gave my blood, my life for him. He is mine. You can't have him. Oh, I am so thankful for Jesus. Are you there? Are you there, man, woman, young person, where you can say with beyond a shadow of a doubt, I belong to Jesus and Jesus belongs to me? And you know that you are safe in his hands? And I am. And I am. And I'm so glad. I am so thankful. Ich bin so dankbar, dass ich Gott hier höre. Er ist mein. Gott. Ich sie sein Kind. But the devil speaks. And he wants us. Remember what Jesus said to Peter in Luke chapter 22? He said, Peter, listen. Peter, listen. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith will not fail. And I say to me, oh my Lord, why did you not rather say, I prayed for you that you will not deny me, but that your faith will not fail. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. And Satan has probably said to Jesus, you give me Peter and I will sift him and he will deny you and he will give up on you and he'll turn his back on you and he will curse you. Jesus said, you may sift him, but you can't have his heart and soul. And you know what Peter did? 3 times he denied that he knew Jesus. 3 times he said to those people around him, to that little girl and to that other person, to that soldier, I don't know Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. 3 times he said it. But the day came, the moment came where he wept and he wept and he blowed and he blew and he roared as of utfunkt hei hod dem heiland in heiland verlucht. Jengigon. For hei ke don, o Herr Gott. Wo kann das sein, ihr was? But he didn't forsake his Lord. 3 times later, Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And Peter became a firebrand for Jesus Christ, and he became a blazing testimony, and he was not ashamed of his testimony before the world, whatever they did to him. Even though they crucified him upside down, Peter was faithful to the very end. Praise God. Praise God. And so, understand, Satan speaks, and he speaks to God, and he's saying, you, God, you put a hedge around your servant. And God says, whatever is in God's holy plan, God says, that far, that's no far, no further. That far, no further. It needs to cause us to tremble before God, to realize how we are in God's hands. He has us in his grip. He is a holy, mighty God. Satan is there. He's accusing us. God is here. Jesus is standing here just like he did when Stephen was about to be stoned. He said, he looked up and he said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What was Jesus doing there? He was interceding for Stephen and he was saying, God, strengthen Stephen in this last moment of trial that I give him. And he did. And he was faithful right to the end. Der Stefan, der wir true ganz bei mir, Jesus stund im Himmel, bis ich Gott in den Prachre für den Stefan, der wird true bleiben bei mir, und er died. And he prayed and he fell down and said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. Wow. What a man. Let us remain true to the very, very end. Let us remain true to the very end. Turn to Revelation chapter 12. I'll let you read those verses again. It's one verse, and then there's another verse that's extremely precious. Offenbarung Kapitel 12, Vers 10 and 11. Revelation 12:10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. When that will take place, I don't know. But right now he's still accusing. But then notice verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. For me, that verse 11 is a very, very precious verse. It's a very precious verse. They, these Christians that were being tried, they overcame him, overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb, and they, by the word of their testimony. And so I challenge you, dear believers, wherever you are and whatever your work is and wherever you find yourself, wherever. And when you wake up in the morning, you feel that like the devil is pouring his wrath on you and he wants to destroy you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to defeat you. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. The blood on my head. On my thoughts. He, Satan, hates the blood. He hates the blood. Praise God. That's my covering. That's my shelter. I hide under the blood of Christ. And by the word of their testimony. So, dear Christian brother and sister, remain true to God, whatever the cost. And realize that you overcome the enemy of our soul by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And now to the third place in Scripture where he speaks, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Oh, it is. Oh, okay. Thanks. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Almost felt like Hagar. Hagar thought she was going to die of thirst. And God said, no, open her eyes. Oh, there's water. Open my eyes, there's water. Thank you very much. Matthew chapter 4. Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil takes him up into the holy city and sets him up on a pinnacle of the temple,
and said to him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written, Again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and said to him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then notice verse 10. I can just see Jesus' eyes like a flame of fire. Then said Jesus to him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only, or him alone, shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaves him. Behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Boy, that third temptation when the devil came and tempted Jesus. When I read that, I could just see the eyes of Jesus like a flame of fire shooting out and just, I don't know, withered up the devil in the spot. Revelation chapter 1 speaks about the eyes of Jesus like a flame of fire. But you notice every time Jesus said, It is written. The Bibel sagt det klar. But the devil tempts. He tempts. He says, Why don't you make some bread? After all, that's a plain thing to do. You're hungry? Why not eat some bread? Make some bread. You're a miracle worker? Do a miracle. Make some bread. It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. You know, we get tempted like that. We're hungry. We're thirsty. And God sees. And we're, should I? Should I not? Do I really have to buy this? Or do I not? And the temptation comes to you, and you wonder. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Wir leben nicht durch Brot, but durch das Wort Gottes, dort jaft ans Leben, wirkliches Leben. Then the second temptation. Throw yourself down. Your angels will protect you. I remember one student of mine years ago. He raced his snow machine. I don't know how fast. He told me how fast he drove. I don't know how fast he drove. In Canada, we have snow, you know. He raced his snow machine really, really fast. And he said, I just love to look death in the face. And I thought, what? What? And I thought of this temptation. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Paul, stop what ye don't. Paul, stop what ye don't. He gave a God what for you not, Paul? And the Bible says, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Watch. Watch. God might just take his hand away. He might just take his hand away. Be careful. I tell you, young men, young women, be careful. Oh, it doesn't matter. We'll have a fun time. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Be careful. Walk carefully before God. Walk carefully before God. And the last temptation. I will give you power. You have power like nothing else if you fall down and worship me. It was a lie. It was a lie. He's a liar. He's a killer. And Jesus said, Get thee hence, Satan. You shall only worship God alone. So whenever you are tempted to fall down and worship
an evil entity, realize that we are to worship God alone. Nobody else. Nobody else. God alone. But recognize Satan's voice. And here's another thing I want to tell you is this. Recognize that Satan, he is out to condemn you. Whenever you sense that you feel condemned, be sure that's Satan's voice. God does not condemn. God convicts. The devil condemns. So if you feel condemned in your heart, and you think I'm no good and I'm condemned and I'm I'm going to die and go to hell. No. God brings conviction of sin. When he, the Spirit of God, has come, he will convict of sin, he will convict of righteousness, and he will convict of judgment. But he doesn't condemn. He wants us to come to him. Him that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. So if even this evening you are convicted of sin, I beg you to come to Jesus tonight. Come and give him your heart and soul, and I give him your all. And Jesus says, come to me, all you that labor, and I will give you rest. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. Please, please don't put it off. Jesus is a loving, loving Savior. He wants nothing more than to see that you come tonight and give and surrender your soul to Jesus Christ, because it's the very best thing to be a Christian. It's a thing that makes sense in this world, to be a child of God. Not a child of darkness, but a child of light. But remember that. And I tell you again, love this book. This is the best book. And when you love this book and you read this book and you are in love with this book and you get familiar with this book, what it says from beginning to end and all the way through, you will discern the voice of the devil. When you hear things, you will say, ah, I know God's voice. Just like it says in John chapter 10. John chapter 10. The shepherd and the sheep. The sheep recognize the shepherd's voice. But when the stranger calls, they run away. And so likewise will you. When the devil speaks, you will run. Let's turn to, for the closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. Run from idolatry. No temptation but such as is common to man. Jesus makes a way of escape. What's that way of escape? Jesus is the way of escape. When you're in danger and you sense the devil is speaking to you and he is threatening you with fear, call out to Jesus and he will save you and keep you safe. But come to Jesus. Don't delay any longer. Come to him. Come to him. Amen. Amen. Let us stand to pray.